Hi, this is Marian Samuel from the Caribbean Radio Lighthouse in Antigua. Every Wednesday at 12:30 p.m., we interview a guest about real-life issues from the Caribbean. Welcome to Lighthouse Conversations, a time to explore the issues surrounding your everyday existence. Your family, your community, your environment, your health and safety habits, your lifestyle, both physically and spiritually, will all be discussed here on Lighthouse Conversations. Let's get started and see just what we can learn to better your life. Welcome to another episode of Lighthouse Conversation. I am Marian Samuel, your host for the program. And with me on the program is no stranger to the Lighthouse Studio. In fact, he spent most of his life here. I will have him to introduce himself to you.
Hello, I am Augustine Erskine.
Yes, you heard right. I have with me today Mr. Augustine Erskine. Why? Because I want him to share all the wealth of information that he can possibly give of the Lighthouse. Brother Erskine, how long have you been working at the radio station?
Well, Sister Marian, at the end of this year, 2023, it will be 38 years I've been serving here at the Lighthouse.
Wow. Yes, you heard right. 38, you said, Mr. Erskine?
Yes, 38.
Wow. 38 years. Now, before you started working at the Caribbean Regional Lighthouse, what was your life like?
Well, I got saved in 1981. I started here at 1985. So before, I used to be an electrical engineering. I worked at the Antigua Sugar Factory. It was owned by that time or operated by ASIC. And I also worked for a company from Barbados who did the electrical work at the sugar factory at that time. Also, before I was saved, I was in the Rasta movement and I was very serious in the Rasta. Thought that Rasta was the right way, and I delved into it, but heard the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and realized that the Lord Jesus Christ is the only way. And so I've put my faith and trust in Him and been serving Him ever since.
When did you first hear about the Lighthouse?
Before I got saved, my father, he used to listen to a program, Calvary Hour. And at that time, the pastor used to be Dr. J.B. Buffington.
Mm.
Every Sunday morning, religiously, my father used to put the radio at the Lighthouse, and we used to hear Dr. Buffington. And boy, sometimes I don't want to hear that man at all. Mm. It seemed like he's always screaming.
Mm-hmm.
I love radio. Since I was small, I always have a small transistor radio. And going up and down the dial, I could remember hearing Ranger Bill and also Sailor Sam too.
Mm-hmm.
So I heard about the Lighthouse then. Yes, before I was saved, I listened. But it wasn't an interest of, you know, listening to it seriously, you know, just listening to radio station and just listen to a program now and then and so.
I know you shared earlier your conversion just a little, but share the story behind your conversion.
Okay. Well, from a child, I always seem like I have that desire for God. And as I said, I love radio. Since I was small, I always been listening to radio. I could remember my mother. She used to tune our radio to a radio station named Viacas in Puerto Rico, WIVV. We used to listen to Radio Paradise. There was the station at that time in St. Martin, PJD2.
Okay.
So I've been exposed to religious teaching since I was small. My mother, she grew up in the Adventist, and so she taught us Bible stories and bedtime stories and so. But when I became a teenager, I became rebellious. I want to have my own way and live the life I wanted to live. But then, one night I could remember coming from a party. I think it was the Anglican, they had a moonlight on the lawn or something like that. And they had a street meeting. That was the Nazarene. They were living in, they had a church in a house in Johnson's Point. And they had a street meeting and they were preaching. And I could remember the group of us stayed there and heard them preaching. And they gave an invitation. And I went forward. They asked me what I came for. I told them to get saved. And they said, pray with us. But I don't know if I was serious. When I left that meeting and was going home, the other young men mocked me. And Marianne, that night, there was a struggle between me and the Lord. And the folks from the Nazarene Church who had the street meeting, they came back to visit me. And it was just during the carnival time. And I could remember listening to some of those calypsos and Chartreuse sang a song. And that, to me, was so sweet. And I said, no, I can't get saved at this time. So I told my brother to tell him I'm not here, tell him I'm not here. And I seemed like from that time, I went deeper and deeper into sin. And so as a young man, I was searching for truth. And I saw the Rasta men, them came round in the village walking with long gown and stick in their hand and carrying Bible and so. And I wanted something like that. And as I said before, I went into the Rasta movement. It's mainly because of smoking the marijuana and listening to reggae music. And we had a group from the village of Crab Hill, and we could remember one time we said we are going to celebrate Jaja's birthday. That is birthday of God. And we went up into the hills and we built a shack and was living there. And it so happened while we were there, Pastor Jerome Martin at that time, he got sick, went into the hospital. He made a commitment with God if he would heal him and allow him to come out, he would stop smoke marijuana. And so even while I was there at Rasta, we were listening to radio. Because I always have a radio. Mm-hmm. So I used to carry my radio there and we were listening to the radio. And I could remember one afternoon we were in our vineyard, as we would say, and we were listening to Pastor St. Clair Archibald. And he was going through the book of Acts. And we're saying, this man is really preaching God's word. Because as Rasta, we used to read the Bible. Devotionally, we used to read the Bible. And so we were familiar with the word of God. And this man, we were saying, he's preaching the word of God. And I could remember some of the other guys left the group. Some went over seas. And so it was Pastor Martin and Vanya remain. And at that time, we weren't smoking any marijuana. And life was just like empty. You're not getting high anymore. And it wasn't feeling right. And I couldn't remember one young lady who used to witness to me. She told me, you're playing so religious and say you're saved. How are you still smoking marijuana? And that thing struck me. It convicted me. And I, from that time, I never smoked again. And it so happened that once Sunday, I heard Maranatha Outreach broadcast on the radio.
What station was that?
That was Caribbean Radio Lighthouse. And I said to myself, this is the same person who was speaking on Daily Light, speaking on Maranatha Outreach. Mm-hmm. So I told the other guys them. And I could remember one Sunday night, we were sitting under the street light, bored like anything. Because we weren't smoking any marijuana. We weren't going to the movies as people used to do and going to the dance. Mary and I used to love going to the dance when I was young.
Listeners, you hear that? Mrs. Erskine used to go to the dance.
And so it was bored. And I said, look, we had a conversation and said the best place for us to be was to be in a church. And so I told him about Pastor St. Clair Archibald's Sunday program. And one friend of ours from Jennings, he lived next to the church, and he was in a conversation while we were talking, and he said the church is right by them, mm-hmm. so it's close by. So I wrote to Pastor St. Clair Archibald and explained to him our situation, and so they came to visit us and left some chalks and so by our home. We weren't at home because we were always in the hills, mm-hmm. and so we read them, and they left an invitation for us to come to the church, and we went Wednesday night, 1981, in November, and we heard the gospel message. We went back the Sunday morning again, heard the gospel message, and I could remember telling those guys, me now go back to the church again tonight, and I get saved, you know. Mm. We went back the Sunday night, heard the gospel message again, and as the invitation was given, Mary and I went forward. And Pastor St. Clair Archibald asked me what I came for. I said, to give my heart to the Lord. He asked me, you can pray? I said, yes. He said, well, pray to the Lord and tell him what is on your heart. Mm-hmm. And I prayed and asked the Lord Jesus Christ to come into my heart that Sunday night, 15th of November, 1981. Amen. And I could remember when I got up off of my knees, I felt light. I was wondering, and the thought came to me, it was the load of sin I was carrying, the Lord has lifted off of me, and that's the reason why I was feeling so light. And from that time, I've been serving the Lord.
Praise the Lord for that, Mr. Erskine. What or who led you to the Caribbean Regional Lighthouse?
It was Brother C, former manager of the lighthouse, Roland Cornelius. He was the one, after we got saved and they saw we were serious, he asked me if I wanted or if I was interested in coming to work at the lighthouse. I told him I would pray about it. I'm not too sure. But I have said to the Lord, Lord, I am available. Mm-hmm. Wherever you want me to serve, I am available. And so it's just like the Lord was saying, this is an opportunity for you to serve the Lord. But it was a struggle before I conceded. I could remember I was looking about my visa to go to the U.S. And I was working for a company, and I asked the manager to give me a job letter. So I was still struggling whether to come to the lighthouse or to go to the U.S. And Marianne, that job letter seemed like it went around Antigua. Mm-hmm. Before I got it, because mm-hmm. my boss gave it to another co-worker, and he put it in his bag and he forget, and he was going all around mm-hmm. until when I already was at lighthouse that mm-hmm. time, he brought that letter to mm-hmm. me. During that time, I had told Brother C, yes, I am available to serve at the lighthouse. Mm-hmm. And so he was the one who asked me about coming to the lighthouse to serve.
And Brother C was actually a member of Maranatha?
Yes, he was.
Yes, oh, okay. Mm. Now, how many, you mentioned Brother C was a missionary. He was one of the first managers. But how many missionaries or managers are you passed through here at the Caribbean Regional Lighthouse?
Four.
Wow.
Brother Roland Cornelius, Brother Curtis Waite, Brother Jerry Baker, and now Brother Nathan Owens.
I know we now have four national staff, but before that, what was the numbers like at the Caribbean Regional Lighthouse?
It varied. At that time, I could remember there used to be a lot of part-time staff as well. When I started, I was like a part-time staff. You had about four ladies used to work with the Bible correspondent courses, and you had missionary couples at the time. Brother Cornelius and his wife, Brother Baker and his wife. When I started at that time, Brother Waite was on furlough, so he was there. You had Brother Mumper also, who was a missionary staff there. And you had several other local staff there. I could remember, I don't if you hear about Roger Fain. Roger Fain, he works with the old time something on Observer Radio.
Okay.
Friday nights.
Uh-huh.
He was a staff member of Radio Lighthouse. So it was a good amount of folks working at the Lighthouse at that time when I started.
Thanks for tuning in to the Caribbean Radio Lighthouse. You are listening to Lighthouse Conversation, and today I am having a throwback conversation with the traffic manager at the Caribbean Radio Lighthouse, Mr. Augustine Erskine. Mr. Erskine will be retiring the end of this year, but before he goes, I need to gather as much memory of the Lighthouse that he has for future reference. So today I am opening his treasure box of valuable information. Which manager you can distinctly remember sharing great moments with?
Great moments.
Mm-hmm.
I would say Brother Waite.
Okay.
He was the one who was very adventurous, especially when we would go out and,
Forget, but I know exactly what you're talking about, yes.
Like a staff picnic.
Yes, staff picnic, yes.
We had some great time with Brother Waite, remember that.
Yes.
He used to bring, like, those rubber lizards and so, fighting those ladies, and so they had, they're jumping up on the desk and this rubber frog. Screaming and bawling. He would like to have a lot of fun with the staff at the time.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's true. Now, I know walking into the studio now is not the same as walking into it 30 years ago. What is different?
Well, when you walk into the studio at when we were located at Jolly Hill, you would see shelves upon shelves with reel-to-reel tapes, cassette tapes, CDs, packed all the shelves. Those used to contain the programs that we aired at that time.
You mentioned reel-to-reel. You think anybody know what's a reel-to-reel now, Brother Erskine?
Some of the older folks, probably my age and older, would know about the reel-to-reel.
Okay, and the records and
the LP records.
And all those machines and stuff. You know, one thing I remember as you were saying there, the carts. I think I always tell you about the carts because the carts are always so, I'm trying to find a word, unique. The carts are always very unique. They're like a small little rectangular shaped, should I say a box? But it's not a box, it's a machine. That always fascinates me. Anyways, we're going to come to that word cart compared to what we are actually using now. So, okay, so that was about 30 years ago at Jolly Hill. Now, what is different in the studio here right now?
Well, we don't have any shelf at all containing.
That's true.
Well, the studio that we're in now, we had some cassettes here, but this is the only place that we have some cassettes.
Mm-hmm.
And those is like our music library. But in the walkway, everything, you don't see no CD or cassettes whatsoever. All our programs now are built into the computer.
Yes. Okay. Tell the listener a little about the equipment and machines that were used then compared to now.
Well, at that time, as I said, we had the reel-to-reel, and you had to run from one reel to the next, and between each program used to be, we call it a leader tape, a white tape, so that would separate maybe track one and track two, and sometimes they used to burst, and you had that thing flying and messing up the whole place. You had to switch speed at the time on the reel-to-reel. If you did not set it at the right speed, you would hear, especially like the talking book.
Yes.
Sometimes you might play the wrong speed and you hear, you don't have that with the computer today.
Mm-hmm.
You had, as you mentioned, the cart machine. Some people refer to it as the A-track. You just push and pull. Mm-hmm. We used to use that mainly for the opening and closing of the program.
Mm-hmm.
So when the cassette plays the program, when it's finished, and then you push that button and you have the opening or the closing, giving the address and so forth, the program. The cassette, the you had to remember how we used to queue up on a little cassette machine, mm-hmm. and then you push in your finger and you screw it back
mm-hmm. a little bit
to queue it up. So mm-hmm. yeah. it was, and then the records, the LP long playing records, mm-hmm. you have to queue up. You had to be very meticulous in setting the needle.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to queue up a song, you had to count the slots, the mm-hmm. Like track one, track two, and you had to put it in the groove mm-hmm. to queue it up, because when you start out, you don't want it to start out in the song. And you say,
right.
And uh-huh. so you had to set it right in the groove. So when it started, it was a smooth flow. And you had to set the record player into, again, you have to change the speed. Also, the LP is 33 long playing records. And for the small records, the 45, mm-hmm. you had to set that machine. You had, remember, you had to pull that lever and
yes.
push it mm-hmm. into the 45 spot. Mm-hmm. So, but now you have the computer, you just click your mouse and you go.
Yes. Uh-huh. Yeah, so that's way easier. Yes, that's way easier.
In the computer, the software that we use, Simeon, on the screen, it's built like the cart machine at the top.
Right.
And the logs coming down. And so you could just click a button mm-hmm. and everything going. You could just sit back and relax.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is queued up. I could remember when you're playing a record and you might be outside. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
The time was up and it's still going, and you had to run, go into the studio and to stop that and mm-hmm. push the button, a cart or something. But now the computer, everything just goes smoothly.
Mm-hmm. Yes. The difference. I would say everything is technology, but it's just a simple format every time, which is good. Because sometimes I'm thinking about the cassette. Before, the cassette was the same reel-to-reel. It's the same big two-sided, and then even like the cart. But sometimes you just kind of compare different things, how they look now compared to how they would look, you know, later on and stuff like that.
You know, so, I didn't even mention CDs and MDs.
Mm-hmm.
The technology is moving so fast,
yes.
we can't even keep up with it.
Mm-hmm.
But remember, we had to use the CDs. One time, CDs were everything. We were taking the music and programs from the reel-to-reel and putting them on the CDs mm-hmm. and the MDs.
Yes.
Most folks, if they're wondering about the MDs, the MDs were a little smaller than the regular CD disc.
Mm-hmm.
And so...
Yes.
We used to store those in-house programs on the MDs. So the technology is much easier now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's easier for the announcer. When you started your announcer, you had to learn how to queue up mm-hmm. The record, queue up the cart, the reel-to-reel, and how to queue your cassette and everything. Now you mm-hmm. click a button, automatically queued, yes. and you click the mouse and you're good to go.
Mm-hmm. And we don't have to run from the kitchen to the control room or something right now to put on a program, because it's there. And yes, that's good.
It used to be fun. Somebody see you running to the control room and you bump up in somebody.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Uh-huh. Yes, I'm sure you must be saying, listeners, she's saying yes, like she. Yes, I have been. Yes, I came quite a ways ago where some of those things that Brother Erskine is mentioning now. Yes, I've been here working with some of those machines and so forth. So I kind of know a little thing or two. Okay. What was your first job description, Mr. Erskine?
Radio announcer.
I know there were many duties behind the scenes before broadcasting. Were you involved in any other thing besides announcing?
Yes. I did maintenance work. I used to cut the lawn. I used to go down by the transmitter site and did the log readings and so for the transmitter reading and service their generator, mm-hmm. check oil and all these things, and make sure the radiator was filled with water and all this thing I used to do.
Was Radio Lighthouse always a 24 hours broadcasting station?
No. I could remember we used to sign on 5:30 in the morning and sign off at 10:30 in the evening.
Was Radio Lighthouse always a popular radio station? Has any one person or group ever had issues with the Caribbean Radio Lighthouse, if you can remember?
I could remember. They used to call them the mainline religion.
Mm-hmm.
And they would tell their folks not to listen to that station because people were getting saved, leaving their churches when people hear the true gospel.
Mm-hmm.
And they get saved. They don't want to go back to those churches where they never really preach the gospel, or if they talk about the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, it was just like a story. Something happened, but it's not for you to apply it to your life, mm-hmm. saying that Jesus Christ died for your sins. And going to those mainline churches, it's okay to live anyhow you want to live.
Mm.
You go to church on Sunday and play pious, but out of that, you could live any life you want to live. But Lighthouse was preaching the gospel and preaching about sin and holy living and those things. And so it wasn't at that that time so popular.
Mm-hmm.
And even the music, they used to say that Lighthouse music is dead, that dead radio station.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, most especially some of the young people, they wanted to hear music. They were not interested in the word. And so they would tell their folks, keep away from that station. Even the young children, we used to have Bible clubs,
mm-hmm.
Going to the villages and so, and have Little Lighthouse Club and sharing the gospel with people, and especially the young children. And they didn't want the young people them to go to those Bible clubs and mm-hmm. so.
Yeah, and as you were saying about the music, I remember there was an ID, Music for the Heart and Not the Hip. I can never forget that ID. Music for the Heart and Not the Hip.
Yeah, yes. I know Pastor Martin used to love that ID.
Uh-huh. Yes. Radio opens the imagination of its listener. I know whenever a listener visits the station and I introduce myself, they always picture me differently. The Caribbean Radio Lighthouse always wants a chance to get to know who they are broadcasting to as well. Give the listener, Mr. Erskine, a few occasions when the Lighthouse seeks to evangelize its listeners that you were a part of.
Well, especially around September. When it comes around to Lighthouse anniversary,
mm-hmm.
we especially like the 10th and the 20th, I could remember the 25th anniversary, that was a big one for us.
Mm-hmm.
I could recall the first anniversary celebration for the Lighthouse I can recall is the 10th anniversary.
Mm-hmm.
And it was held at King George's Pasture. It's just recently renamed. By the West Bus Station,
mm-hmm.
they had a tent meeting, and one of the broadcaster, Arnold Hickok, I don't know if those folks who used to listen to the Lighthouse from the beginning, but Pastor Arnold Hickok, he had a program on the Lighthouse, Heart to Heart broadcast, and for a whole week we had evangelistic meetings, and the place was packed every night, and people getting saved and so. So yes, the Lighthouse has been reaching out not only on the air, but Lighthouse is mainly known for distribution of Bible tracts. Most of the folks on the island, they would come here and get Bible tracts, and we always provide tracts for them to distribute. I could remember if some folks wanted these amount of tracts to share during the carnival time. And Lighthouse provided those tracks for them.
It has been 30 minutes into our conversation, and we are not finished as yet. So join us next week as we continue our conversation with Mr. Augustine Erskine. Thanks for listening in on our conversation. We trust that it was beneficial to you as you continue to develop a more meaningful life. Do you have a topic or a guest you would like us to have a conversation with for a future episode on Lighthouse Conversations? We would love to hear your suggestions. Send us a mail at Caribbean Radio Lighthouse, P.O. Box 1057, St. John's, Antigua, or Lighthouse, B-I-M-I, at gmail.com, or give us a call at area code 268-462-1454, or send us a message via WhatsApp or text at area code 268-782-1454. Thanks for listening. Remember, you can hear Lighthouse Conversations Wednesday at 12:30 p.m. on the Caribbean Radio Lighthouse. If you're in Antigua, you can listen at 92.3 MHz FM. If you're in the Caribbean, you can listen at 1160 kHz AM or listen online at www.radiolighthouse.org from anywhere in the world. Or you can subscribe to this podcast. Looking forward to having you join us next time. Bye-bye.